Good morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers 18. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's household with you shall bear the guilt in connection with the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the guilt in connection with your priesthood. But bring with you all your brothers, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. And they shall thus attend to your obligation and the obligation of all the tent, but they shall not come near to the furnishings of the sanctuary and the altar, lest both they and you die. And they shall be joined with you and attend to the obligations of the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent, but an outsider may not come near you. So you shall attend to the obligations of the sanctuary and the obligations of the altar, that there may no longer be wrath on the sons of Israel. And behold, I myself have taken your fellow Levites from among the sons of Israel. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord, to perform the service for the tent of meeting. But you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I am giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Now, behold, I myself have given you charge of my offerings. Even all the holy gifts of the sons of Israel, I have given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual allotment. This shall be yours from the most holy gifts, reserved from the fire, every offering of theirs, even every grain offering, every sin offering, every guilt offering, which they shall render to me shall be most holy for you and for your sons. As for the most holy gifts, you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the offering of their gift. Even all the wave offerings of the sons of Israel, I have given them to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. All the best of the fresh oil and all the best of the fresh wine, all of the grain and the first fruits of those which they give to the Lord, I give them to you. The first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Every first issue of the womb of all flesh, whether man or animal, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And as to their redemption price, from a month old you shall redeem them by your valuation, 5 shekels in silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of an ox, or the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar, and shall offer up their fat in smoke as an offering by fire, for a soothing aroma to the Lord. And their meat shall be yours. It shall be yours like the breast of a wave offering, and like the right thigh. All the offerings of the holy gifts which the sons of Israel offer to the Lord I have given to you and to your sons and to your daughters with you as a perpetual allotment. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and to your descendants with you." Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. And to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service, which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. And the sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, lest they bear sin and die. Only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, and among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as an offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Moreover, you shall speak to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given to you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of the tithe. And your offering shall be reckoned to you as the grain from the threshing floor or the full produce from the wine vat. And you shall also present an offering to the Lord from your tithes, which you receive from the sons of Israel, and from it you shall give the Lord's offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts you shall present every offering due to the Lord from all the best of them, the sacred part from them, and you shall say to them, when you have offered from it the best of it, then the rest shall be reckoned to the Levites as the product of the threshing floor and as a product of the wine vat. And you may eat it anywhere, you and your households, for it is your compensation in return for your service in the tent of meeting, and you shall bear no sin by reason of it when you have offered the best of it. But you shall not profane the sacred gifts of the sons of Israel, lest you die. Amen. So if you remember, chapter 17 was the vindication of Aaron. And so God, even though Aaron was accused of a lot of different things by Korah, chapter 17, he vindicates him. But now chapter 18 is his charge. In other words, God's saying, okay, you know, you're vindicated. This is what you're going to do. And he again reiterates the duties of the Levitical priesthood and the care that he wants to have. It's like this. God says, look, I've chosen you, right? You're my chosen vessel, right? I vindicated you. Now this is your duty. It's important to recognize that. Every single one of us, we are saved for a purpose. You know that, right? You don't just get a ticket to heaven. You are saved for an eternal purpose. The first purpose, first and foremost, is to glorify God. That's what we're to do. It's the what they call the Shorter Catechism, the part of the Westminster Confession, that basically we exist to glorify God. This chief end of man is to glorify Him and worship Him forever. And so we understand that that's our main goal. If you think about it, out of that place of giving God glory, and it all fans from this center, out of that place of giving God glory is also the privilege of partnering with Him. There's the new spread issue is coming out pretty soon, and so they basically did a blurb on one of my messages on missional living, and I didn't realize I had said this until they sent me the blurb and asked me to go through this. And you know, when we're talking about missions, and I said, you know, our ultimate goal is not to win people to Christ, and I think that raised a few eyebrows when I said it. Our ultimate goal is to glorify God and to please Him. Part of our theme this year, try and find what is pleasing to the Lord from our New Year's Eve service. But part of that, what pleases the Lord the most is when people get saved. It says all heaven rejoices. And so that's a part of it. So our goal is not work per se. Our goal is to give Him glory, you know, through our lives. And out of that giving Him glory, there is work or per se, and those things are what give Him glory. And so in the same regard, you know, to these Levites, look, I've chosen you, but I also have a task for you. And the task that I have for you is huge. It's got weight. And basically, you're going to carry the guilt and to understand better translation, maybe is burden. You're going to carry the burden of the sanctuary, and you're going to carry the burden of yourselves working in the sanctuary. In other words, you're stepping into the most holy of places. And in fact, only you, Aaron, and your sons may enter into this space. The Levites, your brothers from your father's household, may enter into this space. Anyone else that tries to come in, they're going to die on the spot. And it becomes quite an amazing scenario that happens here. So much so, I mean, you've heard me say this before, but I mean, it's almost comical, even though it's not comical. But what they used to do is, remember, as you go through generation after generation after generation, you'll always find that things get muted. Things become more gray and whatnot. And so what they had to do was when the chief priest, the high priest, would go into the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for the people, if that priest had any sin whatsoever, that priest died on the spot. And no one would know. And so what they would do is they would tie a cowbell, a bell, around their waist and tie a rope around their waist as well. And so when they heard the bell ringing, they knew that the guy was alive. As soon as they heard the bell stop, they would take the rope from outside the sanctuary and they would pull him out. I mean, it's comical, but it's tragic at the same time. And it's such the care, because you are now carrying the burden of the people in relation to God, in relation to holiness, and all these things. And so you could think on, if you think about it on Aaron's side, it's like, wow, Lord, thanks for choosing me, but no thanks, you know, for all this burden that happens. And doesn't that sometimes happen with us? God, thank you. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Oh, that's awesome. But Lord, no thank you for, you know, now I got to be an example to people. Right now, I can't curse anymore. You know, now I can't backstab people anymore. You know, I can't lie. You know, I had a conversation this week with one of our new church members. And, you know, we're just talking. And the person was saying, you know, oh, I lied to someone and so forth. And I told her, I says, you know, you can't lie. And she goes, what? I said, no, you can't lie. Like, that's one of the Ten Commandments. And you know, any relationship built on a lie is going to fall down. So you can't lie. Not even little lies. You can't lie. And it was like a revolutionary thought, you know, and I realized, wow, our people need to know the Bible more. I'm more convinced more than ever. Right, and thus the Ten Commandments are coming out, and so, but you know, we feel like this. I don't know if Aaron felt like this, but if I'm Aaron, I'm feeling like this. God, I appreciate you calling me. I appreciate you vindicated me, but now what? I got to carry all this burden, and see. But brothers and sisters, that's the wrong perspective to have. Right, it really is. It's the wrong perspective. You don't have to carry any burdens. God carries the burdens. All God asks us to do is join him in it. Just join him in his work. It's such a simple thing. I encourage everyone, you know, to take EG at some point, and you'll learn these simple principles. Right? We're not. God is always at work. Right? And all God does, he invites us to join him in his. It's his work. It's not our work. It's his work. He's doing it. He just wants a human partner to do it with. That's the whole point here. And when we put everything on ourselves, that's when we get burdened and burnt out, and we feel like, you know, we gotta change the world. No, you don't have to change the world. You change whoever God puts into your life, and you start there, you know, one at a time. I don't know if you ever heard a really famous story about the starfish. You guys, I mean, very famous. And so there's a little boy that goes out and he sees. This beach is just strewn with starfish that are dying, and he starts going out and he starts chucking them back into the ocean one at a time. And the old man watches what this kid's doing and says, "Kid, what are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, you know, I'm saving these starfish." He goes, "There's so many starfish here. What kind of a difference can you make?" You know, and the boy picked up starfish, threw it in the water, and he said, "Well, I made a difference in that one." And it was such a nice picture for us when we talk about evangelism, God's work. You don't have to save everybody. You don't have to be burdened with that. But you save, and you're part of whoever God brings into your life. Don't think, and you know, I feel like that. When I first came to Hong Kong, you know, I came here, you know, it's like immature a bit. I mean, still a little bit immature, but more immature than I was now. And just thinking, I gotta save Hong Kong, you know, I gotta save China, and just so burdened, and like, you know, even when I'd pray, it'd just be like this gasping, and, you know, woe is me, I have this duty. And I realized, no, I don't have to save China. God is gonna save China. God's gonna save Hong Kong. I'm just gonna be faithful and responsible for the people that God gives me. And particularly right now is the people at Solomon's Porch. And the connections that come out of that. And so it makes you much more at ease in that regard. And so he begins to share with him about all these different things. And, you know, you're going to, this is the work. And then the next portion of this is in relation to their livelihood and how they're going to live. And God basically says, Aaron and your sons, don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to do my work. You're going to be wholly dedicated, like every fiber of your being, every part of your life is going to be about the sanctuary and making atonement for the people. And so God says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you, right? You serve me, God says, I got your back. And I mean, this is huge for these guys. You know, a part of the offerings that come, You and your sons and your family, you're going to receive a portion of that. You know, every one of these things. The only thing that you will not be allowed to do is actually to have land and have an inheritance. And here's the verse in verse 20. The end of verse 20, he says, let's just read 20. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. It says you get a piece of all the offerings that come in, and says, but the land is not going to be yours. I'm going to be yours. Now think about this. Why not the land? Let's really hash this out. Why not the land? This is my own personal take, okay? And I feel like, see, these guys are getting fed through the offerings that are coming, and so it's out of the faith of the people. They're disciplined to give to the Lord, and a portion of that they're receiving. If land was given to them, there is a very now this doesn't happen all the time, but there is a sense of security in many ways. When you own property, when you have land, or is something that's yours and you own it, as opposed to even in our day that you're renting, okay? There's no sense of permanence. You know, my landlord can raise the rent at any moment, you know, and then I gotta find another place, and you know, all this kind of stuff. But there's something of the security of owning land, and if you own land. Bless you. I'm not saying it's bad, okay? I think it's good. But for the Levites, what God wanted to really institute was this incredible trust that, look, I am your portion. I'm your inheritance. You don't need to, you know, place your security on, okay, well, and I do this thing because, you know, at least I have this property here. You know, and that sense of security. Again, right, I hope that every one of you owns some building, especially in Hong Kong, man, right? I hope that you own a piece of real estate here for you and your family. I hope and pray one day that I may own something in Hong Kong. I mean, I think global financial crisis needs to happen. I'm not praying for that, okay, by the way, just so I can own property. But, I mean, a miracle needs to happen for that to take place. But I'm hoping and believing that God will do something, and what that does is just lays a sense of security, which is fine, which is great. But for the Levites, they just totally had to depend on God, you know, again and again and again. And he says, so the land and these things you'll not have a portion of, because why? Because I'll be your portion. I will be your inheritance. I mean, what an incredible word for Aaron and his sons. And then he says, but you still be responsible for what you get, because even you receive the tithe, I want you to tithe that tithe. And so it's again this twofold message. I'm going to bless you, but you also be a blessing. I'm going to back you up, but you also be a blessing, right? I'm going to take care of you. You take care of others, and it's kind of and that, isn't that really what the Christian life is really all about? God's blessed you, and He wants you to be a blessing, right? God's vindicated you, and He wants you to go and vindicate somebody else. it's not paying it forward, you know, and none of these like things that we talk about now. But it's kind of very similar. God's touched you. God says, okay, go bless someone else now in that regard. I've given you the tithe. Now you tithe that, and you go and be a blessing in this regard. And so now let me speak to this a little bit, kind of more, because, you know, not many of you will become pastors and vocationally, work in church or in some kind of ministry or whatnot, but just even, you know, outside of that, your work, in this regard, do you find your security, your source of your security on what you own, you know, on your job, or is the source of your security God? You know, are you relying on your retirement accounts, you know, or are you relying on God? Who is ultimately your portion and your inheritance this morning? And so let's close our eyes. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. God says, Aaron, I'm going to take care of you. But I have a job for you to do. God says to us, I'm going to take care of you. But I also want you to take care of others. It's foolish for us to say no, God, because He's given us all things. Now, even when we talk about tithing and giving, it's foolish for us not to tithe and offer up offerings to the Lord. Because it comes out of what God's already given to you. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us. I mean, really, where is your security? Is it in your investment portfolio? Your job? Your family has resources? Or can you say, Lord, you are my portion in my inheritance? Let's pray this morning.
I stand amazed in the
Let's pray. This morning, if you are burdened by God's blessings, let's ask Him for the right perspective. If your security and your trust comes from what you own or what you do, let's go to the Lord and let's give Him our hearts again. And say, God, You are my portion. Or You are my inheritance. Don't feel guilty about what you own. That's a blessing of the Lord. Don't by any means feel guilty in that way. Just thank Him and be good stewards. That's the best thing you can do. Share with those in need. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's ill and also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. let's pray for our community that's suffering a non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley. Bless their time there as they minister, sometimes in a very high stress environment. Let's pray that they're continually receiving from the Lord. Let's also lift up Bloom as well, Ruth and Murray and their ministry there. Let's pray for Pastor O at Vision to Reality. Help give him strength to finish his PhD, to continue the work in Cambodia. I pray for Pastor Tang and New Life Church that they would just continue to grow and just impact Cambodians there. Let's lift up Cambodia. Let's pray for IP Well and Cascade. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries. Pray for our leaders and our volunteers and all the people that come, that they would receive from the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries, also the young adult men's and women's, Yama Yamama. Let's ask for God's hands to be upon our leaders, and that men and women would be able to really connect with each other. There's real iron sharpening iron. Let's pray. Let's lift up outreaches that are happening tonight, SP Lights and the homeless outreach. And let's pray for God to really use our leaders to go out and really impact the red light district and the cut houses. So let's lift up. pray for the house churches meeting tonight, Soho, Robert Hood, and Austin West. And let's pray for Israel, a glorious time connecting with God and with each other. Let's pray for Sandro this morning. Let's pray for family and extended family salvation, for wisdom and anointing to share the gospel with non-believers. Pray that he would draw closer to God and put him in the center of his life day in and day out, and to be a greater husband, father, son, as well as a great leader at church and at work. And let's pray for Sandro. Let's pray for Bernice. Praise God for Rob's desire to read the entire Bible, praying his heart to receive in the Holy Spirit's revelations. Pray for seeking undeniable experience with God as Rob reads, patience and wisdom for her, as trust and hope in God's timing and ways, and contending for family salvation, siblings estranged from dad, full restoration over wounds caused by the divorce. Let's pray for Bernice and her family. Let's pray for Christine. Pray for pursue deeper intimacy with God. I can hear and recognize his voice. Pray that she be anointed with the spirit of Caleb. Pray for bold and conquering faith and can follow God wholeheartedly. And pray for wisdom and the ability to build a successful startup that you'll hire the right people in God's way. And let's pray for Christine. And lastly, let's pray for Christina. She went home last night. It's amazing, right? So you'll see her tomorrow morning. Now the prescription is rest. So she needs to spend a lot of time resting. And so pray that she would get rest at home. Continue to lift up Kiwan and the kids. And really praise God for just his miracle working power. Let's lift up. Thank you. we thank you. God, we thank you for the many blessings that you give into our lives, Lord. God, help us to be good stewards, Lord, of what you've given to us, God. And to really operate out of gratitude, Lord, not entitlement. Father, thank you for Christina. Lord, just give her rest. Help her as we celebrate when she comes tomorrow, Lord, morning. We're so thankful to your goodness. And we pray, God, for all these ones that we've been praying for, that they'll all be healed, God. And we press in, Lord, to see your kingdom come in their lives, Lord. We thank you. Watch over us today, God, our last day of our fast. Lord, help us to finish strong, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, we'll see you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, what we're going to do is we're going to have our 10 minutes of quiet time. I'm going to teach the next chapter, but we're not going to have a group prayer time. Instead, we're just going to do a personal communion time. And so we'll set up the communion table, and you can come up whenever you're ready and take communion. And we'll pray for you. Hopefully your house church leaders will pray for you at that time. And then you can go out and enjoy some congee to break our fast, okay? And so that'll be the schedule tomorrow. All right. Bless you guys.